today is found in the chapter that was read before you, Numbers 22, concerning the Balaam and Balak. We find that the children of Israel had pitched forward in the plains of Moab, and they were on this side of Jordan over against the city of Jericho. The children of Israel then were very near to the promised land. They could see the promised land across the river. They could see this city, Jericho, an immense city with its towers and with its buildings. And this city was the first city that they would really take in before that they actually possessed the land of Canaan. These people, they were then in the plains of Moab. And they were an innumerable multitude of people, these Israelites. And now when Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab, saw these people and had heard what they had done unto the Amorites and unto the inhabitants of Bashan, then we find that these Moabites and Midianites, they were sore afraid. This likewise teaches us that these Moabites, they were descendants from a son of Lot called Moab. They had long ago forsaken the religion of their father, and they had fallen into idolatry. The Midianites, they were descendants of Abraham by Keturah. And now these two countries, they lay next to each other, and they were affiliated with each other, and they were enemies of the Israelites. And now when they heard what the Amorites had been done to by the Israelites, and how that these people of Bashan and Og, their king, had been destroyed, they were afraid. The Amorites, they were the descendants of Hamor, the fourth son of Canaan. And these people, they would not let Israel pass by. They went out to fight against Israel, and their king led them in the battle by the name of Zihon. And the king and the whole army of the Amorites was routed, and Israel overcame them and possessed their land. And then we read of Og, the king of Bashan, he came out likewise against Israel, and God told Moses that he should not fear him, but that he would give him into his hand as he did Zihon, the king of the Amorites. And we find that the Israelites prevailed over this king and his army, Og, the king of Bashan. This Og, according to scripture, was an immense giant. His bed was 16 feet long and 7 feet broad. He must have been a man of great stature, something like this Goliath that we read of that went out to fight against David. This then made the Moabites sore afraid, because if they could not prevail against the Israelites, surely they never would either. But now, the Moabites, they had no reason to be afraid, because God had said to Moses that he should not distress the Moabites, and that he should not go up and make war against them, because God never intended to give any portion of their land unto the Israelites. And surely Moses had probably made them acquainted with this fact, but they didn't trust the Israelites. They feared that they only sent this message probably so that they would be off their guard. And then the Israelites would fall upon them and lick them up like the ox licketh up the grass that is on the ground. And now this king, Balak, he was an idolater. He believed in magical arts. And there were many probably in his own country that followed this magical arts in fooling and deceiving people. And in instead now of taking someone from his own country, he had heard of a certain prophet by the name of Balaam. This man had received a great reputation and was spoken of all others of his prophecies, and what that he said usually came true. And now this Balak, instead of taking someone nearby, he would have the best that he could get. So he decided to send messengers to this man, requesting him to come to his country and to curse these people that were lying in the plains of Moab. He therefore affiliated himself with the Midianites, and he sent them these messengers, elders of Midian and of Moab, to this man Balaam, who lived in the land called Mesopotamia, the land where Abraham came from and where Laban lived, a faraway country. He sent then these messengers to him, requesting him that he would come and he would curse these people that had come up out of the land of Egypt and that were lying in the plains of Moab, and that they were so mighty and so strong and so numerous that he would never prevail against them. But he believed that if this man came, and from what he had heard of him, whom he cursed would be cursed, whom he blessed would be blessed, then he should come and he should curse them. And then God would bless him and give him that he would prevail against these people, the Israelites. So these messengers went all the way to Mesopotamia to Balaam, and they came to him and spoke unto him the words of Balak concerning the multitude of people that were lying round about his country, and that Balak requested him to come up and curse these people, the Israelites. Now this man Balaam is a controversy amongst many of the expositors of Scripture. He is called a prophet, and he has, by his prophecies in this chapter and the next chapter, duly acquired the name of a prophet. But whether he was a true prophet or not is the question of the commentaries. Some think that he was a true prophet, a good man, and that he degenerated and he fell into idolatry and began to use magical arts so that he received fame and was renowned amongst the nations round about him. But this doesn't seem to be logical or probable, because when we consider when this man went to God to inquire of God, he used enchantments. And if he had been a true prophet and knew God and feared him, why, he never would have used these things. Furthermore, when these men came with this message to him, if he had been a true prophet, he would have immediately said, "Use, return to your own country, because this God, who is my God and who I fear and who I love, is the God of these people, the Israelites, and I will not come and curse them because God has blessed them." But he never said this. He seems to have acquired a certain knowledge of God, and it is said that this is the way that he acquired this. He had heard of these Israelites, and he had heard of how God had been with them, and also with his servant Moses, and how that he had performed so many miracles by the hand of Moses and delivered these Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And acquiring this knowledge of this God in this way, he used this knowledge for his own benefit, for his own ambition, and for his own pocketbook. For whenever he did say things, he claimed that it came from the Lord Jehovah. But we sincerely believe that he never was a true prophet. That he did prophesy the truth in this instance is true, but he had to. It was God that controlled his mouth. And now this man, Balaam, he was asked to come. He says to these messengers that they should lodge there this night, and then he would inquire of God and find out if he could go along with them. He should have immediately said, you go right back to your country, I'm not going with you, but he didn't do this. The rewards of divination were in the hands of these messengers. They are called the wages of unrighteousness in the Bible, and he had his eye upon these things. Money, fame, and honor, this what he loved to have. And now these messengers abode there that night. We do not read that Balaam went to God, but we do read that God came to Balaam. If he had been a prophet, he would have went to God himself and requested of God what he should do. But you do not read this. God came to him, and God told him that he should not go with these men, and that he should not curse these people, because these people were blessed. It must have been a surprise, I think, to Balaam himself that God came to him during the night and spoke to him this way. So he arose in the morning, and he said unto these messengers, he said, go back to your country, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go. The messengers, of course, they left and they returned to Balak, and they said unto Balak, Balaam refuses to come. Now, in between this, what Balaam said unto these messengers lay a question that they could bring back to Balak. I'd like to go. I'd like to get this reward that you gave, you have in your hands. I would like to be of service to Balak, but God won't let me go at the present time. Maybe the next time I'll go. Now, these messengers, when they came back to Balak, they didn't say to Balak, God refuses to let Balaam come. No, they said, Balaam refuses to come. In other words, if you send somebody maybe better than we and send some more money along with him, maybe he'll come. This is the way Balak took up the report that he received from these messengers. And now, of course, Balak, he immediately gets more honorable men than these that he had sent, and he likewise puts more money in their hands, and likewise speaks different words, saying unto them that when they came to this man Balaam, they should tell him, let nothing hinder him from coming unto me, for I will give unto thee whatsoever thou willest, and I will reward thee greatly. He gave himself away. In other words, Balaam could have what he wanted if he came. So now, these messengers, they returned to Balaam, and they spake unto Balaam concerning what Balak had put in their mouth, requesting him to come and curse these people, and that he would be so rewarded and so honored and so blessed by Balak that there would be no end to what he would receive. And now, of course, this is what Balaam wanted. This is what he desired. This is what he was after. And now, if God had answered him in the first place and told him not to go, and that he should not curse these people, he should have immediately told them, listen, God told me in the first place, I'm not to go, I'm not to curse these people, they are blessed, go back. But no, he didn't do that either. So you can see what was lying back in the mind of this man, Balaam. He had his eye and his heart upon the rewards that he was going to get. So he said, remain here this night, and I will see what answer God will bring unto me. And God came again unto Balaam that night, and said unto him, if the men come and call thee, rise up and go with them. But the words that I give thee to speak, this thou shalt do. Now this has been a problem for me as a Bible class teacher to try to understand this. You've read it in Scripture. First God said he couldn't go, then God said he could go. Does God change his mind? He's of one mind, he's of one purpose. God let this man go, but he went in the anger of God. He didn't go with the blessing of God upon him. Just like God gave Israel of old a king in his anger, so he says to Balaam, go ahead. You want to go? You got it in your mind to go. You like to go. You want to make this money and this honor and this fame? Well, go now. But you'll go and you'll only say what I give you to say, and that you will only do. So now what did Balaam do? He rises up right away, he prepares his ass, and he hastens himself to go. The scripture says, he ran hastily for this reward. He ran as fast as he could into sin. So this man then, Balaam, he arose and went with his ass. Oh, how happy he was. He had permission now. He could go. He didn't think of what God had said the first time. He had no thought or no knowledge of this true God in his own heart and soul. You can see this in this. And so he went. And now as he was going, we find that God sent an angel to withstand him in the way that he was going. Balaam, he didn't see this angel. But the ass upon which he was riding did see it. And now they came, and this angel stood in the way. So the ass went into the field to avoid the angel. Now Balaam, he smote the ass, so that the ass would go back into the way upon which he had been. But the angel moved into a vineyard, which the ass was probably making a big turn to try to get around him. But he moved in the front of him. So this ass, he likewise rubbed up against two walls that were in this vineyard to keep the intruders out. And he rubbed the foot of Balaam up against the wall, and it injured his foot, and he became very angry, and he smote the ass again. And now the angel went and stood in a very narrow place. And when the ass came to this place, he couldn't go to the right or to the left. And when he saw the angel, he fell down flat. He refused to go. And now when this took place, it made Balaam as mad as could be. And he smote the ass. We have a lesson here, my hearers. If in the way of God's providence, you are bent on doing something that's wrong and that's evil, and God prevents you, he makes things come that you can't do the thing that you wanted to do, which is goodness of God, kindness of God. Then most of the time, you probably will become angry. You won't see that this is God forbidding you to go on in your sinful way. This happens so often, my hearers, that people, they are bent on doing evil. And you may speak to them in love, you may warn them, and still they go on anyway. How many times have you been warned? How many times has God spoken to you by the mouth of the ministry of the word and told you to turn from your wicked ways? Because if you do not turn, the wrath of God is going to come down on you, and you're going to be cast away forever and ever. Has it ever taken any effect upon you? You've listened to it, you've heard it, but you went on in your way. So here, this man Balaam, he was being hindered from going, and still he became so angry. Sinners become angry when they don't get their way. When they can't get what they're after, oh, then their wrath and their anger flies up. So here, Balaam, he took it out on this poor, dumb animal. He got off it and he smote it. And now this dumb animal turns around and looks at him. And God opens the mouth of this ass. And this ass began to speak unto Balaam, and said unto him, wherefore smitest thou me these three times? And Balaam says, because you have mocked me. If I had a sword in my hand, he said, I would kill you. And the ass says, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden since of the day that you purchased me? In other words, was I ever wont to do this? Nay, he says. Now you would think that this Balaam would have looked with surprise at this dumbass speaking to him. You don't read of it at all. He wasn't surprised at all. Now this was a miracle of God, that God opened the mouth of the ass. You get what I said? God opened it. There isn't anything too hard for God. People say it's an impossibility that an ass could speak. If God opened my and your mouth to speak, he can open the ass's mouth. Who opened Adam's mouth to speak? If God had not given man to speak, not one person would ever speak in this world. The articulation of speaking is from God. Let me ask you another question, which is very interesting. Can you comprehend how you speak? Do you know where it comes from? How that it goes? That's another wonder of God, that we can use our tongue and our mouth to speak. And now God caused this dumb animal to speak. You know the devil, he used the serpent to speak unto Eve, the devil. He had power over a serpent, and he gave this serpent to deceive Eve. He came with this beautiful animal. But now God, to magnify his wonders, takes a dumb animal, an ass, a stupid creature, and uses that to speak to the prophet, to reprove him, to make him ashamed. But this, what this animal spake unto the prophet, was to instruct him in this way, that man's mouth is of God, our speech is of God. And now, as God made this dumb animal speak contrary to nature, so he would make Balaam speak contrary to his inclinations, because he was inclined to curse the people of Israel to get the money, to get the rewards. And now God was going to see to it that he would not be able to curse these people. We find then that when he had smoken this ass and it was lying on the ground, then God opened the eyes of Balaam, and he seen the angel. He hadn't seen him before. And when he seen the angel, he fell down flat on the ground. in a token of reverence. And the angel, according to the commentary, was the second person in Trinity. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, that appeared unto this man. And he spake unto him and said unto him that if it wasn't for the ass, withstanding of this angel, then the angel would have slain Balaam and preserved the donkey, the ass. This then was that which God used to save Balaam's life. He used the donkey. If it hadn't been for him, why, the angel would have slain him, it says. We never know to whom we can credit sometimes that we are not slain, that we are not consumed. God uses various means and various things in life so that we may give him the honor and the glory. This angel then spake unto Balaam and told him that his way was perverse before him. God's anger was aroused because he had went. And now he told him that he was in the wrong way. So Balaam, he says unto the angel, I will go back. I have sinned, I will go back, seeing that it doth not please thee. Now God had said to him, go. So he doesn't come back to that. If God says to me and you, and we want to know whether we can go or not, and he says go, and when he withstands us, then we can come back to that word and say, Lord, didn't you say I should go? But you don't read that Balaam came back with this to God and said, you said I could go, you gave me permission to go. No. And he knew that he had went against the anger of God. And he had it in his mind that now that God had given him permission to go, when he got there, well, everything would be all right. Or everything would work out fine. He would curse these people, and he would gain the rewards of divination, and he would be honored, and he would be glorified. This is what he had in his mind. But now he was told that his way was perverse before God. Oh, my hearers, our ways are perverse too. By nature, our ways are contrary to the ways of God. We are on a wrong way, running as fast as sin can carry us to hell below. And many times God comes and speaks by his word, by some affliction, by sometimes even withholding us from doing what we most certainly would like to do, keeping us from evil, even though we know him not. Oh, when once this has taken place in your life, that God should open your eyes and give you to look backward in your past life. No matter how you have sinned, how you have lived, and what you have done, there are some things that are outstanding in your life, and in them, God was. Oh, you see that so clear then. You ever have that? If your eyes go open for the goodness of God over you while you were rushing madly on in your sins. You didn't see that then. Now this man, Balaam, he didn't see this either, that it was the kindness and the goodness of God that he was withheld. But now when his eyes were open and he seen the angel, then he wanted to go back. When he heard that his way was perverse. But now, this is what got me too. After God done all this, done this miracle with the donkey, had told Balaam to go, and now withstood him and told him his way was perverse, he still tells him to go. See, see, I can't understand some things in Scripture. I don't know, maybe you're better than I am. I'm only an ignorant creature when it comes to these things. But his way was contrary to what God had said in the beginning. So now he was told to go, but he only would be able to speak what God would give him to speak. God would lay the words in his mouth, and these things he would speak and nothing else. So he went. And now when he came into the land of Moab, we find that this king Balak received him gladly. Oh, he was so glad to hear that Balaam had come. So he made him a great feast. And after they had been at this feast, the next day we find that Balak took this man, Balaam, up on the top of a mountain. And he let him view all these people down below. And now Balaam requested that Balak would build 7 altars, and that he would offer a bullock and a sheep upon each altar. 7 altars. What was this for? Wasn't one altar enough? He thought by the multitude of offers that he could gain the approval of God to curse these people. This is what he thought he could do. In other words, he was going to try to buy God off with the offerings that he offered unto God. So while he was offering these offerings, he said unto Balak, I will go hither and see what God will speak unto me. And now God put words into his mouth, glorious words, concerning these people Israel, and concerning likewise what would take place in the future. This man, Balaam, he was given to prophesy and speak good of Israel, and speak well likewise of what would take place with these people in the future. This people, Israel, was God's people. They would be blessed by him. And out of these people, there would come forth a king. And this king would be the savior of the world. He prophesies of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. He likewise sees what the end of these people would be, and he